Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Phil Powers, and I would like to thank you for coming to tonight's broadcast of the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we're fortunate enough to welcome back to our Psychic Viewpoint Dr. Carmen Hara, who will enlighten us about her newest book, Holiness. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts, Nancy Galloway, Sharon Bradley, and Maureen Holleran. And let's see if they'll share a little information with us. Hi, Nancy. How are you tonight?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here again.
Cool. Would you like to share a little information about yourself and your abilities and what you do?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm just kidding.
Fair enough. Next.
Oh, no, sorry. Just trying to freak you out. I'm an advisor on Psychic Access, like everybody else tonight, and I'm an intuitive and empath, and I love to use the tarot cards as a guide. That's in my toolbox. And I connect with my angels, and I feel we all have a guardian angel, so I try and connect with those, and I really enjoy it.
Cool. Thanks, Nancy. And let me borrow your guardian angel for tonight.
Yes, there's one watching over you right now.
Thank you. And hi, Sharon. How are you tonight?
Hi, Phil. How are you?
And I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Would you tell us about yourself and abilities?
Okay. I'm an advisor on Psychic Access, too. I think we all love it and just wanted to tell everyone that. And I don't use any tools. I kind of hear and see from spirit, and that's how I do my reading. So just something I've been able to do, which I love. Yeah.
That's very nice. I like that style. All right, thanks.
Good luck tonight.
Okay. I'll need it. Okay. And last but not least, Maureen. Hi, Maureen. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you. Are you with me?
In spirit.
Okay. I'm really looking forward to your show and with a great guest. And yes, my name is Maureen. You got the last name right. And I am an intuitive. All the C's, and what else have you? I'm an empath. I feel, I smell, I do everything. I do the dishes.
you do it all.
I do it all quickly.
And so all much. Right. And, so, and very cool. And tonight's actually, go ahead, Maureen. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You go ahead. I'm done.
Go ahead. Keep talking.
No, I'm done now. Thank
You're
you,
done.
Phil.
Yeah. All right. For everyone listening, they're messing with me. This is my first night as the actual host, so it should be entertaining. And girls, please feel free to jump in and bail me out as needed, which will probably be often. But tonight, I'm delighted and honored to welcome back our extra special guest, Dr. Carmen Hara. And Carmen is an author of 7 books. She is a clinical and or intuitive counselor. She holds 2 PhDs and has been on countless radio and TV shows. Carmen came from a humble upbringing in Romania and redefined herself in the USA, learning many lessons along the path. Tonight, she will share with us some of her insight, energy, and intelligence, along with discussing her newest book, Holiness. For more information on Dr. Carmen Hara, please visit her website at www.carmen.com. HARRA.com. And for more info on her latest book, please visit holiness.com, and that is WHOLELINESS.
So it looks like we might have lost Phil for now, but he's going to be on in a second.
So if I would have talked longer again.
Yeah. Do we have, is Carmen on with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi. We just lost Phil for a moment, so he'll be back on in a second. How are you tonight?
So excited to be on your show. Thank you so much for having me again.
That's great. Well, you're talking to Nancy and Maureen, and my name is Sharon, so we get Phil back. So we're glad Sarah. You came.
Hi, Carmen.
I might be...
We could take over now.
Yeah. Carmen, I was looking at your book. It looks wonderful. The holiness. It looks like a great book.
Oh, it's gonna do so well. Talking about seeing into the future.
Yeah, it looks. I can't wait to get it. It looks like it is. Is it already out for sale?
Yeah, it already is out. Just came out. Yeah, released by Hay House.
Oh, good, good. So it's going to be great. I can't wait. Can you tell us a little bit about what it's about until we get Phil back on? Or
yes, I mean, the book is all about giving birth to a new life, to a new human experience, to the fact that we're all linked into each other. So, you know, too often we are feeling like we're disconnected and we walk on earth with feeling independent and solitary creatures and forget about us. We always think about me, you know, but the idea of holiness is that you have to live in a full awareness of the sacred connection that exists among us. It's the way of life when you actually feel united with that divine nature. I think even your program has a lot to do with this ability of the brain to connect with the other side. So it just shows that in order to live in a health, trying to blend something that is the ancient teaching and bring all those ancient knowledge in a modern form. So I think that psychology is pretty much complemented by the fact that we are equipped with this ability of the mind to transcend chronology and to anticipate things that are happening in our lives. So I believe that this combination is a pretty interesting one. But if you think of a Freud, who actually pretty much originally denied parapsychology, but his student Carl Jung accepted parapsychology as an amazing tool to be integrated into psychology. I think I'm pretty much a Freud student at this point.
Wow, very nice. I started reading your book, Holiness. I got it last night, and I can't believe how much I resonated with the philosophy of it on life, and I can't wait to finish it. Could you share with us or the listeners the three truths
of holiness?
Yeah.
So I should start by simply explaining people what holiness is all about, because it's spelled in a way that it creates like a new word in a dictionary, WHOLELINESS. So this word, if you check it, it doesn't really exist, because it comes from the word hal, AJI, which is an old English word saying about, the definition is actually being unhurt, being entire, being complete, and also the meaning of holy, H-O-L-Y, which means saintly, godly, of a spiritual pure nature. Now, I think because we're about to give birth to something new in the universe, we need to acknowledge the connection that we all have to the divine. And we also need to understand that this whole idea of holiness is just much more than a book. It's the way of life. And it's exactly the way we were always meant to live, you know, over time. So, but we became less and less aware of our ties to ourselves, to others, and to the universe. So the idea of this book came to me because it's time to reconnect with this divine source of nourishment. So I think that everybody should cultivate holiness in life by the three principles of it, and by following the three steps of holiness, which is actually observe, pray, and act. So this is actually the way that everybody of us will be reminded of a sacred connection. So I should tell your listener that whatever they can do in their world, but they should always have to be remembering that we relate to each other, and that at the end of the day, you don't feel isolated, you're not afraid of tomorrow, but you feel empowered by the sense of belonging and by the sense of togetherness that comes from within.
I think Phil had a little bit of a hiatus for a minute.
I think it's very bad weather outside. It's just a big storm, and I think that's the reason why they're having an issue with electricity in my area. I think that's what's happening from a technical point of view.
And Phil, Pat, Phil also is having the same problem. You guys live in the same area. I don't know, but you know, Carmen, this is Maureen as well. I'm another co-host here, and I wanted to ask you a lot of what you're talking about. I just love it because, you know, Carl Jung talked about the collective unconsciousness of how we're all connected, psychic inheritance, and we all need to come back into that because we really need to understand that we are not alone. That we're collectively, it's better to be connected. So this is kind of like what you're speaking of. Is that, you know, the same? I'm all for it myself, but is that correct? Is what I'm hearing right?
Yes, and you know what? The fact that this is a time in our evolution when we're closing doors to an era of thousands of years and opening doors to another level of perception. So we are changing. We are changing in this phase of our evolution, and the sad part is that we're not talking about. We're talking about everything else, but we are not talking about what's important to us. So I think that what's happening to us in this moment is that we are actually forced to change, and everybody resonates to the idea of change. But the change is that we are coming together. We can't continue to be so dissociated from each other, you know. So these problems that are happening in the world right now point towards the fact that the idea of coming together is the idea that can help us turn the ship around before it hits the iceberg.
So we need everyone to start coming together on a spiritual level?
Absolutely. You know, the whole idea of spirituality is becoming more clear, because I think for a period of time we didn't quite understand exactly what spirituality is all about. But since the dawn of humanity, we try to understand our mission on Earth. We try to be good to each other. But then we failed, I think, through centuries. If you look at the world today, you know, if you look at the news today, you know, you see that a 13-year-old is killed in such a brutal way. And we question, where is this world going, you know? If we're so bad to each other, how are we going to make life on Earth beautiful and healthy? And how are we going to live unhurt and entire and full and whole? That's not possible. So we either change or we die out. You know, there's no other way. So I think that all these ancient processes point towards this era and evolution by saying you're at the crossroads. Either you take the good way or the bad way, because there's no in between. So I think that this is a topic that should be discussed everywhere, on every network, on every television, because we have to stop this killing, this negative karma that has been created for thousands of years. And we have to start to relate to each other and to understand that we're in this situation together, and the togetherness is the only solution we have. That's why I said my book and the idea of holiness is actually to wake up people and realize how important it is to connect the dots, you know, to see how we are all interwoven in the sacred fabric of creation more than ever before. So it's relevant at this point to talk about this topic, because this is so-called the antidote for human suffering. This is the only way that we can stop harming each other and hurting Mother Earth.
It is all a wake-up call right now. And you mentioned two things, one, Mother Earth, and so do you think over the last year we've had incredible storms, and since my power keeps going out with lightning and tornadoes, and do you think it's Mother Nature actually getting smarter, coming at us with a vengeance to wake us up also?
Exactly. I think if you think of what an earthquake is all about, it's a releasing the energy. I mean, Mother Earth is releasing that negative energy that we project. We project probably constantly towards each other. If you see that we kill each other in the name of God, we kill each other when the whole idea of God is to come together. When the whole idea of religion comes from a Latin word that is called religare, which means unity. Well, we haven't been united by the whole idea of church. We've been divided by the concept of different gods and different religions and different belief systems. And we used to say you can never go beyond your belief. But, if we don't shift the belief, if we don't raise the level of consciousness, if we don't raise the level of perception, then we're not going to progress. There would be no evolution. So, in one of the laws of the divine is definitely the law of evolution. I think it's time for evolution. It's time to raise consciousness. It's time to stop this and allow Mother Nature, you know what I mean, to calm down and welcome us, because I think Earth will continue to produce this horrible weather, you know, with all this incredible earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes, parts of the world we've never had them, you know. Isn't that a sign? Isn't that something that Mother Earth is trying to tell us, and we seem like not to listen, or we're ignoring it? There's no time of ignoring things like this anymore.
No, you're on the same page I am. I think it's all just the negative energy. The Earth's fighting back. It's getting smarter. Not only is it taking out cities with tsunamis, it's actually now aiming at the nuclear plants. It's getting smarter and trying to wake us all up. What do you think if we took like 5 minutes a day, everybody, and just went outside at noon and sent positive healing energy? Would that help maybe speed up the process?
Absolutely. It will help. You know, we are so powerful creatures. We have a tremendous energy. We're actually not using it the right way. We actually don't even know how to use more than probably 10% of the brain. So if we will know how the mind works and how much energy exists within ourselves, that the fact that, as I said in a book, coming together, I'm so glad that you brought the point, coming together at the same time and having the same intention, we put in the universe the same positive intention, can change everything very fast. So that's why, you know what I mean, you exist, your radio show is so significant to raise consciousness. Books like mine are significant to shift consciousness.
Extremely.
And we can change the world for finally, you know, creating the world that the Creator originally wanted for us.
So for 212, and I know you, well, I'm not sure if you have predictions, but how do you interpret 212? Because I know you get into that in your book.
I do have, at the end of the book, I have so many predictions, because you know what? I base my predictions for the fact that they create a psychological effect on people's mind. You know, I noticed many years ago people coming to me and for their problems, and at some point I used to like tease them with one tiny prediction, and that prediction came true because it did open in their mind something. So I always thought a prediction is necessary. On top of everything, we've been programmed in a negative way with negative predictions for thousands of years. So if you look at the young generation, they're afraid that 2012 is the end of the world, and nobody comes out there to explain them that that's not what the Mayan civilization tried to tell us about the 2012. Actually, if anybody understands a little bit of the concept of timing, you interpret the power, the mystical power behind the number, and then you take December 21st, 2012, you reduce it to a single digit, and it equals an 11. But 11, according to the calculation and the ancient teaching, the Pythagorean system, is the number of enlightenment. So this is far from being the end. This is far from being punishment or whatever, the end of us. It's the beginning of an era in which we will see the light. We'll finally come like more evolved and acknowledge things about us that we failed to acknowledge for thousands of years. You know, in a way, we went backward, because if you think like how many wonderful things happened by the era of Greece, and then we went backward, and by the time of the Inquisition, we completely forgot who we are. We even forgot that the earth is round. You know, we said that the planet moved around the earth. So you see, now we're coming out to light, and now we start to see that, hey, this might not be it, and we have a different perception. It's all at the level of the perception. So 2012 is beginning of a new human experience. It's the beginning of the era that in Hinduism is called the Golden Yuga, in which we will live longer lives. So my predictions are based on something that is so simple to understand. But this is the end of the dark era, the low level of consciousness. This is the beginning of a new age, which is so much better. We've been waiting for this. But some people cannot believe that based on how bad this world is today with us at every single level, there is still hope. And as you said it, Bill, this is time for us to come together, raise our consciousness, say a prayer every single day at 5 o'clock, at 10 o'clock. Come together. We can transform life on Earth for better sooner and faster than we think.
So you're seeing 212 as not the end of time, as everyone's trying to sell their books that way and get on TV, but more as it is awakening.
We'll
be more spiritual. It's time to shift the energy and fix what we've ruined over the last X amount of years.
Nobody's punishing us. We punish ourselves.
There you go. Thank you. You phrased that better than I.
God. So I think that our perception is expanding. So we start to comprehend what's happening to us. We start to comprehend the three-dimensional time. We start to comprehend that beyond the physics, there is a dimension of the continuous time. So more now than ever before, there is communication with the spirit world. You know that what's pretty much established somewhere with Allan Kardec in the 18th century now is becoming so popular that you see all these TV shows about talking to the dead. Is that possible in the future? I really believe one of my predictions is we'll have devices that will allow us to communicate with what is considered to be the invisible world. Because thinking about holiness, the visible and the invisible exist in unity. So that unity, you know, as we're coming closer to the veil, is more seen. We're starting to see. We're starting to understand what's out there without being afraid. You know, centuries ago, we were so scared of the unknown that we killed everything or everybody who said something that we couldn't understand. We
right.
killed Giordano Bruno Copernic because they said the earth is round. Think how angry we were. It's time to stop that, and now we're kind of seeing our wrongdoing through centuries.
Okay, so let's see. If you could pick maybe some highlights out of your book, what is it you're looking for readers to get out of this marvelous book? What would you think are maybe the key points that you're really trying to get across?
I want people to understand how significant it is, this holiness, how it can change your perspective of life, how it can help you overcome all these obstacles, all the fear that you have. I mean, we are looking at the world today, if you walk in the street and ask people, what are they going to tell you? They're afraid of their mortgage. They're afraid of that. They feel disconnected. They feel lost. They feel alone. They don't trust the government. They don't trust the financial institutions. So in a world that looks like it's falling apart in a total chaos, the only rescue that we have is coming together as one nation, one planet, you know, that lives in harmony and recreate the unity that exists between us, because then we are much more powerful to change everything. And we're not going to allow ourselves to be, you know, dominated by all kinds of man-made laws and systems that prove not to function anymore. So I think that just simply that my book tries to do is raise consciousness to a level that unity is key for the years to come. Just because the years ahead won't be so easy. We're in transition from now on till 2033 to another era. And this new era will be in full force only in 2033. Until then, from now on, for the next, I should say, approximately 20 years, we still are in transition. So a lot of things are going to happen that we need to digest, to comprehend. But the key in doing it is this whole idea of being healed, the idea of giving birth to this new experience, acknowledging what's happening to us, and most likely trying to reach out to each other and connect to your own self and to the family and to the world, and to, then you're going to feel a little bit more protected, more empowered, more belonging, and much safer. You know, when you think of only you, me, you don't feel safe. You feel alone and you feel lost. So this is the purpose of the book, to find a way to reach out to the heart of millions of people and showing them, don't feel that way anymore. There is a way, you know, to turn your fear into possibilities, you know, to overcome in life all the problems that you thought are going to overwhelm you and destroy your life. So there is a way out. There is a way to take control of your anxiety. There is a way to see the future. Don't feel this is over. Don't feel it. Just feel like it's a new beginning. Just because if you come together and if you acknowledge the interconnectedness that exists between us, you are safe. You are protected.
So it's almost like the entire world needs to go through a rebirth, as we would call it as psychics. Get into the soul, figure out what's going on, shift your consciousness to a higher level, think about others, and you also see a bunch of systems changing, like the monetary system, I assume, and things to that nature, and the way the heads communicate to each other, the presidents, and do you see actually maybe over the next 20 years the peace starting to come? Will we see signs of that maybe?
We'll start to see signs of that, you know. And I really believe I have to tell your listeners that talking about coming together, what we will see is the leaders of the world will have to come together to imagine a new economic system that is more the same. You know, think of all these economic systems all over the globe, you know. We're not going to see the same money. We may not even have dollars in the next 20 years. We may not even have presidents in the night, because all the system, look in the Middle East, people are against dictatorship. We don't want leadership the way it used to be in the past. We might not even want the monarchy. Probably Prince William is the last monarch. I think it's more than sure that's the way it's going to happen. We feel disappointment towards our presidents all over the globe because we feel like they're not doing what we want, because the thing, the matter is, no one single person can do it. We have to do it together. You don't have to expect that your president can solve your problem. You have to solve your problem together with the people around you and find ways, you know, reach common ground. I think that's where the world is going, you know. So all these monetary systems all over the globe, in my vision, will be condensed into one system, one economy. Not so many financial markets all over the globe. I don't even know in which way the financial market will survive. And everybody talks about it's going to get better, it's going to get better. The reality is it cannot get better, you know. Sometimes, you know, you have to go through a state of chaos to create the progress, and that's exactly what's happening. To reach that phase of progress, we go into this chaos as we speak, and we don't have anybody to points towards the reality, because every politician will try to get elected and every politician will say, no, I promise you we'll do better. But the truth is nobody can do it for us. We have to do it together.
No one can do it by themselves. We all need to come together to get this done. And I guess, didn't Europe have, well, the Euros and different monetary systems over there, and then they came together all under at least one system?
And that was one of my predictions. 20 years ago, I said,
I don't think
all over the globe, you know, Italy had a currency, France another one, Germany another one. And now if you go to Europe, you know, I haven't been in Europe for 16 years at some point in my life. But when I went back, you know, everywhere I went was the same monetary, the same currency you could buy with euros. Now in my vision, there would be no dollars, no euros, no yen. There would be a new system. So something new will have to come to life. But everything, whenever the change happens, is for our own evolution. I see that this is for our own good. Because this is going to bring the people at the financial level more in equilibrium. We'll create that kind of a harmony and balance. Because money is always the root of the problem. And I don't personally think that the world will be ruled anymore by this so-called secret society, so-called leaders of the world who have solutions for us, and look where we are today. So I think the solution is unity. And unity at every level, from the monetary level to the form of leadership, to the healthcare system, to everything that exists that has to do with us being on Earth. And that's why this is key for our human suffering. And also healing all this karma, because holiness means healing. We have to heal. We've been in too much pain. All this karma created, Earth has karma. We have individual karma. We have family karma. We have global karma. Karma is the memory that has been implemented within ourselves, the way we've been programmed at the cellular level through centuries. That needs to be changed too. And I personally know the changes at the DNA level. And do you know that the Nobel Prize was given to some Russian people who acknowledged that within our DNA, there is a 666 element. Did you know about it? 6 neutrons, 6 protons, 6 electrons. What does
it mean?
666. The number of the beast exists within our DNA because there are 6 electrons, 6 protons, and 6 neutrons. What does it say? 666. But the discovery is that the carbon, that kind of a solid element based on this 666 number, shifted into 7 from 12, meaning we don't actually have any more 666, we have 616. So when that is happening, we are not marked anymore with the sign of the beast, which we've been for centuries. And if you think of the Greeks, they were the first saying that 666 is the sign of the mortal mind, the sign of the beast, 888 is the sign of the higher mind. No doubt the Pope was codified, his divine code was 666, born on the 8th month, on the day of an 8th. So everything about his numerology was weight was 888. But people don't really pay attention to these remarkable details about the human nature. And I really believe that at this point in time, the changes at the DNA level are so remarkable and so fascinating. And that's the solution. And anybody understanding a little bit the mechanism of this will come to that conclusion. So what it means is that we're not going to be criminals anymore. This existing within ourselves, as much as that is shifting into a different program, the tendency of being so angry with each other, so violent, so hateful, is just vanishing. You know, we always talk about the other side. When you die, you don't take with you all those negative feelings and live in harmony and peace. Why don't you want to implement that harmony and peace on Earth? And that is becoming possible as our DNA is progressing into carbon 7 from carbon 12.
Beautiful. Carmen, we have to take a commercial break, and we will bring you right back after that.
Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing, and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Hey Carmen, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm having so much fun being on your show.
I'm having a good time. It's entertaining with the weather and everything. And you're quite the numerologist too. That's the numbers out like that is insane. I do have an odd question. Where do you get your inspiration from to do things that you do? Is it divine? Is it just comes to you in flashes? Is it intuitive? Is it just life collectiveness? Was it the drowning? Where's it all come from?
It's a combination. I always look at it. I was always fascinated with the ancient teaching of numbers. I do believe that that is man-made law created thousands of years ago by Pythagoras, 2,500 years ago. But I do believe that as if you demystify the power behind that, then you come up with some kind of an amazing association. So if you understand that, and that coupled with the knowledge of the way the mind works, and with accessing this intuitive ability that can transcend the physics, then you can come up with extraordinary things for your future. And I think, you know, it's so important to know how to control your destiny, how to master your life, and just don't live day by day with whatever's going to happen because you believe you don't have the right to access your life. No, we are supposed to know. It's good to know. Knowledge is power. And then if you take control of your life, you can get the most of your life and create the best version of yourself.
So our paths are not set. We can actually define our own paths, is what you're saying.
There's a lot of, we're coming from a drop of DNA that has a lot of everything within it in that molecule. It says that you, Bill, are going to be like that tall, and it defines you genetically, but also it gives you that kind of a specific skills and ability. So a lot of stuff about us is kind of programmed at a certain degree, and there is that 10% in which you have the power to navigate. So it's up to you, you know what I mean? Whatever version of you wish to create. And you know what? You know, people talk for such a long time about law of attraction, what's within you will attract, but people don't know how to access what's within them. People don't know how to access their memory. People don't know how to, empower themselves, and they live in fear. And I think that bringing all this knowledge, you know, to people, it can help them, you know, rethink, reinvent themselves, think better about themselves, create different connection. I think it's all about that. And that's why using ancient teaching in a modern form is a way to get the most of life.
Okay, very good. Carol, yeah. Maureen has a question she'd like to ask you.
Hi, Carmen. This is Maureen, and I wanted to know, what are your thoughts, your feelings about how important it is to really do this, be connected, collectively, and also it really has a lot to do with that we're colored by our environment, the people that we hang with, or we are hanging around with. You know, it's almost like in a way we can rise to the occasion to be. It has, like you said, you can manifest, try to manifest everything else. If you can't do it within yourself, forget it. So if you're around a lot of people, crazy makers, I call them. Crazy makers, it really can be a way to sabotage yourself.
Well, I mean, we live in a world that people have issues with communication. Almost every single person coming to me, you know, for counseling, they have issues with the people in their lives, you know, and they have issues with themselves. They have issues of insecurity. They are afraid of commitment. You see this every day. It's like an epidemic. It's an epidemic. So the question is, how can you actually access that power within you, you know, to be confident within your skin and to know how to present yourself and to know what to attract in yourself? Because it's very important to acknowledge that everybody coming in your life is coming for a reason. Everybody coming in your life is actually a reflection of your own subconscious issues, of the things that you need to work on. So people tend to react right away because of that ego problem, that low level of consciousness, that lack of awareness. So I point in my book about these issues a lot. I'm actually thinking about even another book that has to do with how you communicate in this world in order to be successful. And I really believe that if you trust yourself, if you try to connect with the people around you in a positive way, no matter who they are, accept them for who they are, forgive them, don't attach to them. Learn your lesson through them. See what reflection of you can identify within them. Every experience is going to enrich you. And as the time goes by, you will feel wiser and better and more fulfilled, more confident in your life. I think that this entire idea of attraction things into your life is not an easy process. That's why many people said the law of attraction doesn't work, because it will never work if you don't understand your own karma, your own memory, your own issues, before anything else. And I think humanity at this point needs to figure it out, a way to interpret the karma created for thousands of years in order to create that new world that is in front of us. It's important to be able to step into that world.
Well, you know, I really kind of feel that in my life, I look at every obstacle or a person as maybe an obstacle as a blessing. As a blessing.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Every blessing is a lesson to learn, you know, and through hardship, you create a miracle. And I think that humanity should take this hard time as an opportunity to create a miracle we've been all praying for.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Carmen, for letting me ask you that.
Thank you so much. Well, that was an interesting question. And I think it just touches on so many aspects of the human experiences. And all of us, we can identify with your question.
Is there a way for us to find out what our karma is, as you call it?
Oh,
our code or whatever
really
word is you're using?
The foundation of the human life is, and the number one law of the universe is the law of karma. You know, it goes back to the time of Pythagoras. You know, the first one who wrote about the law of attraction is Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, 300 before Jesus. He was just pointing to us how important it is to understand these divine laws. And I think, you know, it's what's happening right now. You know, we just see that the man-made laws. What are the man-made laws? Time is a man-made. Suffering is man-made. Dying is man-made. None of this belongs to God. It's our creation. Even the issues that we have with all these negative emotions is our creation. Even the fear of I don't know what, it's a man-made concept. You know, God doesn't want us to be afraid. And according to God, there is none of this emotion exists. According to the divine, God is eternity. And we live forever, and we live in peace and in harmony with each other and loving each other. That's the only emotion. Versus the earth, here where we are, dominated by all these dark forces. So the law of karma is the foundation of spirituality. If you don't understand your own karma, meaning your own action, your daily action, if you don't understand your family karmic connection, then you definitely lost. Then there's no way to progress. So then forget about the law of attraction or any other laws, because you will never get there. So unless you know how to create a foundation in your life by identifying karmic issues, identifying the memory that you have about all your experiences, identifying a karmic relationship with the people in your life, that is key for your progress, for getting where you want to get, for becoming the person you meant to become. So that's why all this ancient teaching is so relevant. So for me personally, the law of karma is everything to be analyzed and interpreted in this time for the world to become that better place we wish for.
So I love that answer. So we really need to heal ourselves before we go out and heal the others.
Yeah, and healing is feeling complete. Healing is that idea of feeling whole and feeling divine and feeling according to God and godly and pure and spiritual. And this is what made me write a book. I said, well, we all should feel that way. We all should feel divine and pure and unheard. You know, because there's so suffering. There is so much pain. I mean, I think that if you will listen a little bit to the pain of the planet Earth, or if we will all scream, you know, it's going to be such a noise that, you know what I mean, you won't be able to hear anything. So, and if you take the temperature of Mother Earth, you know, everybody's going to have a high temperature because of everything that's happening in the world. The world is out of balance at this point, ecologically, economically, politically. I mean, we're in denial if we say that everything is good and it's just going to get good out of the blue because of the divine intervention. That's a big lie. You know, we have to wake up and realize what is our contribution internally, externally. How can we, you know, accept, understand, agree, pray, act, observe, do all of these things, you know, to see that the difference is just becoming, is within us. The transformation that is very easy. I think just simply acknowledging all our negative feelings from the day we wake up till we go to sleep, that is already a step forward into understanding our wrong action that many times is motivated by all these bad feelings, you know. So taking your karma, the daily karma, the daily action into consideration. Sometimes I'm telling people, write down at the end of the day a journal and write down what you did good and what you did bad. How many bad thoughts you had in your mind? How many thousands of feelings came through you? And watch which is your dominant emotion. Is it an emotion of fear? Is it an emotion of anger? You know, and write it down, observe it so that you can change it. And what it does, it changes the way you act. You know, your thoughts transform into your action and your action becomes your destiny. So I think that, pretty much, you know, going inward to fix all these issues that we live with them for thousands of years because of this reptilian brain that we have, you know, and we do not, the lack of evolution, I think, comes from there, you know. That's why I personally believe that other planets have creatures that are much more evolved than we are. And guess what? We are afraid that one day, you know, the aliens are going to come on Earth and, you know what, invade our planet. Well, guess what? We are so wrong. If this was supposed to happen, we would have been conquered by aliens long time ago. You remember what Robert Jones used to say in 1985? He said, if the world will know that tomorrow some kind of an alien would conquer Earth, the world will come together and the people are going to start loving each other in order to protect themselves from the alien invasion. I like that a lot. I think it's 20-something years ago we have been said, but it's very valid as of now.
And you see that a lot with the minor catastrophes, that when something happens, that the world comes together to help, but it's only for a short stint of time that happens.
Absolutely. I have a house in New York, Bill, and when September 11 happened, my neighbors, they never talked to me before. They all knocked at my door. They were concerned if I'm okay, if there's anything that I need. I love that feeling. Unfortunately, it lasted only 2 weeks.
And then it was gone. Yeah, that's it's sad. So we're getting tastes of it, but we're not completely ready to do anything yet.
Exactly. We're not there yet.
But you are spreading the word, and that is a good thing.
Well, I think we should all spread the word, and I think we should all at least rethink a little bit, you know, embrace ideas and try to work them out, try to digest them, you know, try to find the truth within them, you know, because this is the way we evolve, you know, and it's all about knowledge. It's amazing how much we've evolved through centuries. You know, if you look at the world today, with all this technology, it's fascinating, you know, to go back 100 years when we hardly had any cars or any airplanes, you know, how much this world has evolved. But unfortunately, within ourselves, there was not as much evolution at the level of action, at the level of the spirit, you know, at the level of compassion, of forgiveness, of the positive intention that, as you said it so brilliantly at the beginning, we have to come together same time of the day, you know, and pray for us, for the future of our children, for a better life on Earth, because, you know, this is time to do it. We don't have any, it's like what the Mayans said, we come into zero time. What does it mean? You know what I mean? It's the spinning process, you know, spinning. So I don't know if you have a feeling, but it feels like the day are no more 24 hours, only 16 hours, 10 hours. It runs so fast, and we will be out of so-called physical time very soon. What does it mean? It means that the compass is going to point north instead of south. So something major is going to happen to us at every level, because all these planets will align, will create the alignment after billions of years. It took, you know, this entire cosmos to align into that perfect alignment. And that is actually a good thing, but we have to acknowledge what it means for us. And it does, as I said, influence the way we function, influence our body, influence our cellular level, influence the thoughts, the mind. And if we're aware of it, you know what I mean? We got to go through the process in an easy way. If we're not aware of it, it's going to be very hard for us.
That is amazing. Carmen, you only have about a minute left. What would you like to get across to everyone? In your last minute for this show.
so very grateful to you guys. I'm grateful for everybody listening. And I want everybody to remember that sacred connection. So do whatever you can in your life. That would be just my advice, you know, to relate to the people around you. And then you're not going to feel alone. You're not going to feel lost. You're not going to feel afraid. You're not going to be afraid of the system. You're not going to be afraid of tomorrow. You're not going to be afraid of 2012. You just have a sense of protection, the sense of belonging, the sense of being healed and being united and being in tie. What's more powerful than the whole idea of a family? Let's make the world a big family, you know, if we can. And together, all of us, you know, we can conquer every adversity. You know, I think that this is the kind of a thinking that everybody should have. And I am predicting a better future. And I'm a strong believer that the world is going to be healed in the years to come. And we will watch television in which we're not going to see all disasters and catastrophes. We're going to see beautiful things happening. And I love you guys for being there for everybody with your amazing show. And I love everybody listening, and God bless.
That is a beautiful message, a great message, and we love having you here. And once again, it's our pleasure to have you join us tonight. And obviously, we all wish you the best for the future. And let's heal the world. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, I think I'm going to go out and just send energy for 5 minutes, and maybe you'll be there. Maybe 2,000 other people will start too.
Absolutely,
we got to start somewhere, and you're doing a great job. Thanks for joining us. I love talking to you, Dr. Carmen Hauer.
It has been an honor to be on your show, and I have to congratulate you for the amazing job that you do for the planet and for all of us.
Thank you. You too. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our show last week, you will find a recorded archive linked, as well as archives of all previous shows, on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com, under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible. So be sure to include others in on our show. Sharon, how are you? Are you with us? And let me give you that call-in number. And that would be the common number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. And once again, that number is 724-444-4851. And I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychics website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And that is http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you'd like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We would appreciate it very much. Okay. Sharon, how are you? Sharon can't hear anyone right now. Nancy, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Nancy. We'll wait for Sharon to come back. Okay. I guess you're chuckling. We're having a good night. Do you believe in karma, and has it changed your life in any way?
Yes, I believe in karma, and I was very interested in what Carmen was saying about it. And I think, you know, she was talking about we have karmic issues to work out, and I think that, you know, being positive and doing good things, you know, for every action we do, there's a reaction. And I've had some very miraculous things happened to me in my life, and one of them was when I lived in a very small isolated community and had to make a big move, and it was almost impossible. I could get out of there easily, but it was almost impossible for me to get myself and all my animals out, because I have a dog team, and at the time I had 9 big dogs and 3 cats. So,
oh, wow.
It was very stressful, and it was like a miracle, because the animals usually flew out on a freight plane, and they were little tiny planes, and they don't schedule them, but the planes just happened to come in, and we all got out. It was almost like the movie 8 Below, you know. All the dogs got stuck up north. So it was just amazing, and I think it was because I really knew deep down in my heart that I would successfully get all my pets out with me, and even though it was against all odds, it was going to happen, and I felt it was just because of positive karma and, you know, doing good things and just thinking positive, and I think that really, really gave me that miracle that I needed.
You just brought it all in, and everything came together for you.
Yeah, it was amazing, actually. Amazing.
That's a cool story. Okay. Maureen, are you with us?
You bet I am.
Okay.
You bet I am.
All right. Now, Carmen mentioned the collective unconsciousness in her book. What is it that all blah, 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 blah. What is that all about? And does that resonate with you on some level?
Well, yes, it does resonate.
It does resonate with you. Okay, good.
Yes, well, you know, I'm a real fan of Carl Jung and the collective unconsciousness, and what that is about is that he felt that we're all born with some type of psychic inheritance, every one of us in this world, and that includes you too, Phil.
Oh, good.
And the thing of it is, it's interesting because it makes so much sense to me, and I've been talking about this for years, and I've been going to workshops. It's a union thing, union this, union that, blah blah blah. But it does make sense, and everything that he said, if it's the aspect of the unconscious which manifests inheritively. So we come into this world with it. It's universal themes which run through all human life. Mm-hmm. So purely the whole history of the human race back to the most primitive times lives on within us, and that's why it's very easy if we it's simple. It's not easy. It's simple if you think about it, and it would really help for us to knock it off if we really feel how connected we are. It's just like when people pray for other people. I mean, I'm not going to go into all the, you know, I was raised Catholic. I'm not going to go into, it's not about religion, but you put enough energy in something, or even negative energy in something, well, you know what happens. And collectively, it's a lot stronger. So I think we'd all have a little bit more tolerance. We'd be kinder. We'd be more open-minded. We wouldn't have all these religious problems and, you know, people thinking, what's it? You know, they're better than that. I think that we all, it's it manifests inheritively, and that's, you go, Carly.
You go. But we're all collective conscious. We're all born with the universal knowledge, dragons, the whole thing. It's all been proven. And
as far as I'm concerned, I don't need proof. I believe in it. It is what it is, and I know it is.
and you know it is, and I'm not going to argue with you at all.
It is.
Can we use this to any nature? What is it you tell people?
With what? When people talk to, if I talk about the collective unconscious, well, you know, just on that, the whole, you didn't hear, I don't know if you heard my conversation with her. I talked to her about being around people that, we're colored by our environment, and there's a lot of crazy makers in this world, but still we're all connected, right? Instead of looking at it in a negative, maybe it's a lesson to it. We are connected collectively. Even if, like, and I've had a lot of my people that, I'm trying to look at people that bring obstacles into my life, and they do. It's not me. I'm not blaming everybody, but I've had a lot of obstacles brought or presented to me for whatever reasons. I have to bless their hearts or just look at it as a blessing instead of a negative. Because they're having their own issues, and that's what I was talking about, Carmen, as a matter of fact, which had to do with the collective unconsciousness, really. But again, I think that if we all, in the whole world, we're all the same. We may look different, but we all manifest inheritively. Of course, like I just said, universal themes. We have it.
Okay.
I'm ailing a little bit, but, you know.
I gotcha.
Not me. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Sharon, can you hear us? Sharon keeps going in and out. Nope. Okay. We'll get back to Sharon later. Let's see, Nancy. Nancy.
Hello.
Nancy, hello again.
I'm here.
I heard that you had an accident that you feel enhanced your intuitive abilities and in the end enriched your life. Why do you think that happened?
Well, yes, it was a very bad accident, and it happened about 25 years ago. It was a car accident, and I feel the accident happened because I needed a wake-up call, and it was the universe telling me, wake up and smell the roses or the coffee or whatever. And I think all of us, after we have a traumatic experience like that, it really makes us tune in to our intuition or our psychic abilities or whatever. And I think that it also makes you appreciate life more, because after that, I think, you know, we get to a place where we take things for granted. And then when something really awful happens, I think sometimes people either become bitter or we learn from it. And thank God I learned from that mistake. And not that I don't make any mistakes anymore, but I don't feel that I've gone off the tracks as much as I did when that happened to me. And I really do feel that it deepened and enhanced my abilities that were there, that were probably dormant, and they came alive after that.
And you learned your lessons and went forward, as opposed to curling up in a ball, which is
exactly
what a lot of people do. Yeah,
yeah, some people do, and yeah, so yeah, it was a bad experience that opened a new door.
Very good. Maureen. And I'm hoping you're still there. Could you inform us about what the, I love saying this, dark night of the soul is?
You love saying that, do you?
I can do the Darth Vader voice if you want.
I didn't really remember with Bless His Heart, the guy that died. But this has, well, actually, it did have a little bit to do that, but. Yes, I would love to talk about that. There's a book out, everybody, called The Dark Night of the Soul that's been around for a while, and it really helped me out through my journey, because it wasn't easy, but I'm not crying about it. But what it is, it's like a metaphor used to describe a phase in a person's spiritual life marked by like a sense of loneliness and desolation. It's complete emotional isolation, and it's mentioned by spiritual traditions throughout the world, and particularly Christianity. But and from there, through the hundreds of years that gone by, there's a book out. Like I said, what it is, it actually was a poem, Dark Night of the Soul, which was a poem, and in the poem, it narrates the journey of the soul from its bodily home that would go to God, but the journey would always occur during the nighttime. I'm a night preacher, which represents the hardships and difficulties the soul meets in detachment from the world. That's all is all about. So there are several steps in this night type of thing, which are, okay, I'm going to go a little bit ahead of this. The second, there's another step. The second and more intense of the two stages is that the purification of the spirit, which is the less common of the two. So Dark Night of the Soul further describes the 10 steps on the ladder of mystical love, previously described by St. Thomas. Anyway, rather than resulting in permanent devastation, the Dark Night is regarded by mystics and others as a blessing in disguise. And that's just what I was talking about, a moment ago, about looking at an obscure obstacle or a person and blessing it. So it's a blessing in disguise, but I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but whereas the individuals are stripped and I went through a terrible time, a very terrible. I was in the hospital because of what was going on, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. But boy, so you're totally stripped from everything that you thought you were conditioned with. So in the Dark Night of the Sense of the spiritual ecstasy associated with acts of virtue. So although the individual may be for a time seem outwardly declining in his own practices of virtue, in reality, the person becomes has more virtue and will begin to be less for... It'll tend to be less for all the spiritual rewards. So what happens is, it's purging. And I'll tell you right now, I have gone through this, and it's very difficult to go through this. And I call, and it's also in the Tarot. You read the Tarot, I think, correct?
I try to, yeah.
Well, the Tower card? That's the Dark Night of the Soul.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
That's exactly what it is. And if you look at the dark number 16, which goes to 7, numerology-wise, mm-hmm. 7 is the lessons, oh boy. And I'm a number 7 in all my name and my thing. And persons, there's a mystic that teaches. But also, 7 is also the chariot for taking control of the reins of your life, right?
Yes.
So I did a lot of research on that. And back into went to the... It's amazing how far back those the chariot and the tower. Tower, if you've done any, you can read a lot of stuff on it, but mine was always the Tower. That's how I always would remember that it's the Dark Night of the Soul. And you can take it for all it's worth, and it's really something. It's difficult, but that's what, I hope you followed me, and it's good information. So if anybody out there is having some things going on, just hang in there, and you will thrive. You won't survive. You will thrive.
Kind of the light to dark, dark to light scenario?
It's kind of like crazy, why are you doing it? I dislike saying this, but the harder our pains and sorrows are, better our rewards. It's like when Jesus was crucified, I'm just saying, you don't have to believe in this or whatever. You know how painful that must have been? Oh my gosh. But what the great thing about that is, and I always talk to people, it's like useful sacrifice. If you get crucified, and nailed, you really go for it, almost what you get to resurrect. A lot of people get crucified, but they have what I call, it's all for nothing because they don't get to resurrect, but they've been crucified. How painful is that? So this is really going for it, diving in, and it takes a lot of guts, and you don't even know what's going on. It's not like you're conscious of it, but they're collectively speaking, and again, you go back into that. There's been a lot of things in suffering. A lot of people have done so that we know about, saints and everything, but they became very much in tune with their, they had to go to the Dark Night of their soul before that.
Before they could get back.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting.
I can resonate with that.
Phil? Oh,
yes.
Funny.
Nancy? We're picking on Maureen and Nancy because Sharon has disappeared for a little bit.
I'm resonating.
Are you resonating also?
I'm resonating.
We're up to number 12 on that, but... All right, so you're a big believer in the power of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, hypnosis, self-hypnosis, trance, you can get into that, but can you share with us why and maybe which one?
Well, I was reading Carmen's site, and she's into hypnosis, and I think the one that really intrigues me is the self-hypnosis, and why I'm interested so much in it is because I just recently became acquainted with actually our guest speaker, our guest next week, and the topic is hypnosis, but I was listening to him talk about hypnosis, and it was so close to what I do with meditation that I was just intrigued that it was almost like meditation, but it was more someone else was helping you. So someone else was helping you get to the same state that meditation does, and meditation is one way to become more self-aware and to help yourself heal and have control over your mind, and so is hypnosis. So if you can learn how to, you know, do self-hypnosis, you can help control all kinds of issues in your life, and it's about being positive and just using the power of suggestion to change the way you think. So it's totally amazing.
To get to your subconscious, yeah.
Totally.
Have you listened to any guided self-hypnosis tapes?
No, but I've been. Why I was intrigued with it is because I was doing it and not realizing that I was doing it. I was guiding people into a trance-like state and not really aware. And I was, you know, there's a fine line, I think, between meditation and hypnosis. So, you know, you kind of end up in the same place, but it's a different journey.
Ah, well put.
Mm-hmm.
Well put.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually read that. Well, the subconscious and the conscious. So for people that are trying to quit smoking, if they tell themselves, I'm not going to smoke today, mm-hmm. they're only externally telling themselves, but their subconscious is saying, we don't believe you.
Right.
You need to smoke. You need to keep going. So you actually have to plant the seed deep down and let it grow from there.
Exactly.
So,
it's fascinating.
Yeah, next week will be cool. That sounds like a great mm-hmm. guest. Mm-hmm. And Maureen, time to pick on you again. Would you agree or disagree that we live in a society that thrives on gossip?
Yes, and also I'd like to say that might be multiple personalities you two are talking.
And while you're talking, we're typing all about you over here, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know all about your typing. Okay. Oh, good. Yes, I actually would like to... I'm, again, very passionate about my points tonight, if anybody hasn't noticed, but I am. But I wanted to say something. There's been some new research just recently, actually, that shows that we are mesmerized by people we've heard bad things about. And that breaks my heart, but isn't it true? And it may have an evolutionary advantage to help protect us against evildoers, because in the latest issue of peer-reviewed science research report that our brains compel us to stare longer at someone's face if we've heard something negative about them. Now, how good is that for us to be collectively connected? So to reach the... I mean, no, it's not good. And I'm glad they brought this up, because gossip is a real... we all like to gossip, but you know, really, I really practice it. If I get very angry... I do get very angry internally. Maybe when someone starts talking about something, I go, I want to know, is that a fact? And considering the work I do, I don't go on facts so much. All I know is what I know, but when it comes to someone talking about someone else's business, I'm very clear about, is that a fact? Or else I don't want to hear about it unless I hear about it directly. It causes a lot of harm and it hurts a lot of people. So, you know, my family is very much into gossip, gossiping about other people, kids or six of us. And most of the time, it's not good things. It's been real, that didn't help the dark night of my soul. So, in order to prevent us from going totally batty, the brain sorts out, because it's research, out a potential confusing situation by focusing on one image at a time. So typically, alternating between two. This is very interesting. They just did a study. It was just like in May here, 2011. So in the test, they found out the scientists had a process called neuro blah 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 blah.
that's the technical term for it,
It's a neuroscience major. She would know, but she's studying the brain. So if you gauge if the brain, to gauge if the brain would favor one image over the other, and that is exactly what they saw. So it turned out that people tended to spend much more time concentrating on the image associated with negative information versus one paired with positive or neutral information. Is that sad? I think so.
That's sad. We have happy news. It's time to do the on-air readings.
Yeah, no, but they tend to remember the gossip because earlier tests have already shown that people tend to remember negative information better. And also because of the media and all that stuff going on with all this, you know, everybody looks so good. I just think that we all need to be a little bit more aware. Little gossip and stuff, I mean, I know everybody does it, and I have too. But then again, it can be very damaging in our collectiveness.
There you go.
I just wanted to pull that out. So there you have it, Phil. Thank you for asking.
Thank you for answering. That was good. But now it's time to do our on-air readings. And Maureen, I believe, yes, you have a caller from Washington State. But we've come to the part of the... Yes, we have come to the part of the show where we will be taking your calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is, once again, 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call. When your call comes in, you will be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You will be able to speak with us when you are placed on the air. Please try to be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your area of interest. So our first caller is for Maureen, and the caller is from Washington.
Washington State, yes. Hello, Washington State. How are you?
I'm Maureen. I'm well, thank you. This is Be
and
Happy.
What's your name?
Be Happy.
Oh, hi, Be Happy.
Hi there. Mine is a really silly question, actually, for this week, but it's still a question. I'm going on a driving trip, and I want to know if everything is going to go nice and smooth, because I'm concerned financially that when we take this trip that we might have a little bit of trouble. So I want to know if it's going to go smooth.
Okay. So you're going on a road trip. And is it with a family or with a partner?
I mean, somebody else, obviously. It's with two family members and a friend of ours.
Okay, I got it. Okay, be happy. Be happy. Just go on. No, you know what? You know, I understand what you're getting. It's almost like you're going, but I know that feeling that maybe you shouldn't be, because you're going to come back and everything's going to be, you shouldn't have done. Is that what you're kind of getting at? Because I do feel, you know what, you deserve this so much. I think what's happened is I see a man around the situation who has in the past, you know this man, he looks like a father figure, but then my age is a father figure, and every, yeah, I don't know, 50s, 60s, but he looks at that age. Or he appears to be, said he's not very dependable. He was following through on anything to do with money parts of anything. So this may have happened before, and it might be something that I think might be about a fear. This man, is there a man that said, I'm going to be able to handle taking care of some of the money part of this trip, don't worry. Have you?
Not on the trip, but certainly afterwards and during it.
Okay, so this might
that person's not going on the trip. That person's staying home.
No, I understand, but that person also would be the one to make you feel, I got it. I follow you. I do follow you. I hope you follow what I meant by that. Because so this person has not been able to follow through before in the past. Like, but you've made a choice. I see you made a good choice. Be happy. You really need to go for it. I mean, go for this. Be fearless and risking. The scenario would be, are you relying on this person that's not going on a trip? I just spoke with this man who would offer, who looks like he would have money backing to offer. But are you relying on, depending on him for you to feel okay later when you got back. Do you know what I mean? If that's the case, I would not do that. You're going to be fine, with or without his help, because you have been in the past. If someone said, "Okay, I can take care of this, you go and have a good time, I'm staying here, whatever, whoever the person is," this person has let you down before this kind of situation has occurred, okay? So, but I do think this trip is so positive, and it feels so right for you to go, because it feels like you need to just, you need to be enthusiastic, you need to be enthusiastic and just have yourself a time that you deserve. And the next thing I guess I'm going to say is, if indeed something should occur, you might know that this has occurred before. Everything will be fine, but I do think that this person, if you are relying again on someone, you know, helping you out, or not helping you out, but making sure everything's okay, I feel that you may be up for, I don't know, you may be up for a little bit of a disappointment, I guess.
Okay.
But I don't feel it's going to be so bad, because I think you kind of know it could happen. Because it's happened. I'm trying to articulate this the best I know how.
You keep breaking in and out, which has got to be my phone, drafts. But I understand what you're actually saying, and I'm going to listen to the archives, which I always do. And then I will share it with who I want to share it with. And thank you for the information. It's been an interesting reading once again, Maureen.
Well, you know, I wanted to tell you one more thing also. I feel that you've been working so hard, so hard. You deserve this. And I think that even if this person doesn't do their thing like they should, and they said, you will be fine. And it looks like you're very happy. And you have a very good victory coming in the first of the year. It's okay. It'll be fine. So just go and be fearless. Don't even think about it. What I even said anyway. Go on that trip and have a great time. Road trip. And you guys will not be fighting. You'll be having a great time. Sing songs.
Yay!
Well, thank
I'll
you.
Be
happy.
Happy
and have a be happy trip.
Okay. Beautiful.
Thank you very
all
much.
Right. Our next Sharon. Are you with us? Sharon. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Sharon, yes?
Hello.
Hey, Sharon. Our next caller is from Florida. I can't hear you. Can anyone hear Sharon?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Beautiful. Our next caller is from Florida. And thanks for coming back. Glad to have you.
Okay. Do I ask my question?
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is Sade.
Sade. Apparently Sharon can't hear us. So, Nancy, this is Sade from Florida.
Hi, Sade. How are you?
Fine.
Good. And what was your question?
I wanted to know how Mark is still about me, and when do you see him calling? I haven't heard from him since Tuesday.
Okay. Mark or Marcus?
Marcus.
And what's his date of birth?
I'm not sure. He's a counselor. He's 27.
Okay. And what's yours?
March the 27th, 87.
Okay, I'm just doing a quick shuffle here with my deck. And what I want you to do, I want you to try and focus in on him and you and try and clear your mind of everything else. I know that's difficult. I'm just going to do a quick spread here. So you haven't heard from him since Tuesday?
Right.
Okay, and did something happen?
Well, I asked, you know, did he want to see me? And he was like, you know, no. And I said, no. And he was like, well, my ex-girlfriend broke into my house and she bleached all my clothes and I don't have anything but one pair of pants.
My.
And I just, you know.
Wow, that's not good.
I texted him when we got the phone. I told him how I felt about him. I told him, you know, that I care about him and all this stuff. And he never responded. And that's that.
Mm-hmm. Now, is he recently starting something new in his life, like a new job or new anything new?
No. Well, yeah, okay. Well, he's out, yeah.
Yeah, because I think that he's kind of preoccupied with some things, and I think that even though your question made all the sense in the world to you, I don't think it made a lot of sense to him. So I think he was kind of taken back that you were, you know, asking questions like that, because he's very into you. And I think that, you know, you're feeling bad right now, and I think that it's not a... He's going to call you in the next couple of days, and I think that things are going to be okay, but I think it's just that he sees things a little bit differently than you do, you know? And so things, are you on a, do you feel like he's on a different wavelength than you?
Yeah, I feel like I like him, or I feel like I care about him more than he cares about me. I don't even know if he cares about me. So.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing here, I'm feeling that he does care about you, and usually in a relationship, one person cares more about the one than the other. I mean, that's totally normal, and sometimes, you know, one of us is more verbal than the other one, so everybody shows love in a different way. So I think with him, you just got to give him an opportunity to shine and show you love in the way that he does, and that might take a little bit of patience on your part to do it, because it's kind of hard when... We want things, you know, we need to know things and we need to feel things right away. But with him, what I'm getting is that he really does care, and that he just felt a little bit of pressure because of the last situation he was in wasn't very good, as you said, and as you know. So I think with him, he just needs a little bit of tender gloves to be handled with, and things are going to be fine. But just be a little bit patient and give him a couple of days, and I'm sure you'll hear from him and things will be fine.
So do you think that, because I've been on him 2.5 months and we have had relations, do you think that it's going to turn into a relationship or no?
I think it will turn into a relationship, but I think that right now he's a little bit scared and scared of a relationship and scared of getting serious with someone again. And I think he's also preoccupied with the other things that are going on in his life. And I think that's, you know, kind of interfering with him a little bit and moving forward with you. So I think it's just with you, it's just a little bit of waiting that you're going to have to do and give him an opportunity to kind of move ahead with the stuff he's doing, and at the same time he needs to come to terms with the fact that you're not the same person that, you know, he was with a different person before. And I think he's having a hard time, you know, adjusting to maybe being in a better relationship, and he's having, you know, he's got baggage, right, that he's brought with him.
Okay.
So yeah,
and he will call in a couple days back before Sunday, or
I'm seeing before Sunday, sometime over the weekend, in the next couple of days. Yeah.
Okay, and yeah, did I turn him off or push him back when I told him how I felt on a text message?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did I turn him off or push him back when I told him how I felt on a text message?
I think that I think he loves to hear that stuff, but I think that he just gets a little bit scared, and he's not as verbal as you are, so I think when he hears things like that, it just takes him a little bit longer to digest things. So I think that, you know, he's fine with how you feel, and he's fine how you show him, but I think sometimes he just doesn't know how to react. So he's just, you know, you guys are on the same page. You just have different ways of showing each other how you care.
And do you know how long it'll be before we probably get in a relationship? Like, you're my man, I'm your woman type of thing?
I'm not really seeing a long period of time that's going to elapse. Like, I'm seeing a... You know, probably a couple of months before things settled into the way that you want them to be. But I think it's going to take a little bit of work on both your parts, because he's dealing with some stuff from before, and, you know, he just needs a little bit of time to wrap his head around, you know, having a new relationship and having a healthy relationship, and, you know, not to be so nervous and scared that things are going to go wrong, because they're not, you know.
Okay.
So what about,
okay. Unfortunately, we have to do the next reading, and that was very good information. So, Maureen, our next caller, our next caller is from Virginia, and I don't know who it is.
Hi, Virginia. How are you?
Hi, Maureen. This is Dee. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And, okay, well, I'm ready for you, Dee.
I'm calling to find out. My son went on a job interview, and I really and truly want him to get this job. Do you see that happening?
Okay, your son, he just recently went for job interview, and you want to know if he's going to get it, see what's happening. Got it.
Right, and it's a really good job. He just got out of college, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed and praying at the same time.
He's been behind years, but he's ready to go for it. Is it in the college degree that he got, in that type of area that he went to school for? He's going for something.
Unfortunately,
some people aren't because of the situation. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, well, you must be very proud of him.
I am. I'm a happy mommy.
You're a very happy mommy. I know my daughter's second year, yes, and I'm very proud of him. That's lovely. And okay, so what's your son's name?
Gary.
Gary. Okay, you know, I think Gary is not what he's doing, which is interesting, and it's not a bad thing, but it could be hard. It could be also a downfall. He has an ability to juggle two things at one time. So what happens is, when people do that, that's all great and everything, it looks great, but one thing will suffer. If you're not paying attention, if you don't put focus on one thing, the other one's not going to get any attention as it should. So I feel that he's kind of juggling a little bit about, you know, what is, it's not a bad thing, but I feel that that's something he'll work on. And it's because he's a perfectionist, and he wants to be exactly just perfect for any situation. But is he living with you? Do you speak to him often? I mean, do you have a relationship where you see him? And
oh, yeah, we talk at least every other day.
Okay. If you speak to him, I would suggest trying to tell him, because he's thinking about two different things. And I feel that if he stays on track about really what he, the one thing that would be best for him, he'll know what that would be. But he's a little bit leery about one of the, I see two different opportunities in jobs, that's why I'm getting that, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry. So the one he's going for, maybe he's not clear if that's right, so he should actually seek to go for the other thing that might be on his mind, and maybe by talking to him he'd feel okay about it. And, you know, I'll tell you, is he in a relationship, real intense, interesting, and that might have, well, it looks positive, and that might be of interest to, you know what, if he's in a relationship, Dee, I want to ask you, is he with somebody that is very positive? Is he connected with another person that he's fond of very much so?
Okay, I didn't get that. You said, is he what?
Is he fond of another relationship? Is he fond, is he involved? It was a nice person right now, a fellow person that he finds he likes to spend time with. Relationship.
I don't know, because he doesn't really tell me about his relationship. He sort of asked him in a question.
Okay. Well, I'm getting this. He's in a very good, positive, I'd be proud of that. He's a good boy. You've done good. He's with somebody really nice. And the thing of it is, it's not going to be a problem, but I think it's wonderful. But I think this could also be part of, he needs to have some direction. Maybe, you know what, I suggest you do ask him about if he's involved with the relationship. I think he needs to open up to you a little bit. I think he's trying to really feel he wants to make you proud, but I think he might get all turned around and everything would go haywire, where it doesn't need to be like that. Because I see that what will happen is he'll start losing faith. Like, if you don't know what's really going on with him, you'll be disappointed. You won't know. There is one position, if he does get it, it's going to be a short-lived. And I see what will happen is there's some downsizing or restructuring in some, is it a company or some sort that he would be?
It's a bank. It's actually with a bank. It's with a major bank.
Okay, it looks to me that if he does go that direction, I'm not saying it would be bad, like we were talking about, there's lessons in life, but it looks like there's going to be, everybody's kind of like out for their own jobs, and I feel that he feels like his personal power is drained. So it's not going to be the best ideal situation, but then that might be a good lesson for him. But I feel that it might be good for him to be open up to another opportunity or interview before he accepts the first one, not to be in such a hurry. And I'm not saying that he should take whatever he should get, because really, he can be a little bit particular if he wants to. If you support that, I think it means a lot to him if you would, if you're willing to, anyway, to tell him, listen, because I just think the first job, and the way I read it is every negative can be a positive. And I think it'd be really difficult for him to be disillusioned to get involved in the first job after college and watch what's going on here. And the thing is just is going to so many, there's all this restructuring. I think that it's a mess. It's very stressful to look at people not just butting heads and stressed out what's going on with the company or the bank or whatever. And I feel that that would be not a very good thing to have experience for the very first time out on the job, you know, out of school.
Okay.
And it looks
so
like you're saying they might come true.
To try to tell him to hold off, maybe, even if they offered him the position.
I would suggest to him not just having one particular job that he wants to interview with. Have a, maybe, you know, say, look at it. Have you thought about also going this, applying or seeking out this opportunity at maybe this place? I'm just giving you an idea. I'm not telling you what to do, but, you know, that might be a good idea. Because it looks like the first one, and you don't want him to have the first bad experience. We don't have to protect him for everything, but I think it would be kind of sad because he is a perfectionist, and this could be sometimes a problem, a positive, and sometimes not. And since he is a perfectionist, I see this would be really, it would bring him down because he would feel like, what, why? I thought everything would be different, and it's just, life is life, you know, how it works.
Right.
And
so you say right now you saw him in a relationship, and I need to talk to him more and find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think you're a lovely woman. Not to, you know, butt in, ski into his life, but I think you would maybe say if you are seeing someone, I'd love to meet somebody because I'm sure whoever you are with, I did such a good job, you'd pick a wonderful person. You're all that, you know, and I just make him feel a little more comfortable about. I see somebody around him, very mutually wonderful, equal, really good little partnership going on there between those two. It's not like they're going to get married or, you know, run off, but they're very...
I hope not yet.
Not yet. He's a good boy. He's a very good man. You've done well.
Okay, well, thank you. And I will talk to him and, you know, try to get a little bit more out of it, but his thing is, Mommy, you just asked too many questions. So.
Yeah. No, it'll be fine, but, you know, like I said, negative into positive, it just looks like, you know, there might be another little thing that he can go towards at the same time, you know, apply.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Well, thank you, Maureen. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Very much.
All right. I like the way you phrased some of that. Every negative can be turned into a positive.
Thank you.
Okay. The next caller is for Phil, and that would be me. And this person's from Wisconsin. Are you there? Wisconsin?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's can I catch your name?
Duana.
Duana? Okay. What's on your mind, Duana?
I don't really have anything in specific. I just have some stuff going on with me lately, and I just wanted some insight.
Okay. Nothing specific. What would you like insight on?
Well,
because it looks like you have a lot of money worries.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else we want to look at?
Like my love life and with my children.
Love life, children, and money worries. Money worries came up first. That seems to be the biggest thing that's going on right now. You need to come to peace with the way it is right now, and that is going to change, okay? So that's good. So don't worry about it as much as you are. I know it's a pain, but it looks like you're going to kind of plot your way out of it and come to peace with it. And are you married? Is there a man around?
I'm not married.
No man around, not married. Okay, but there was a family?
A what?
Do you have children, a family, things of that nature?
Yes, I have children, yes.
Okay, so that's the family card. So you're playing both roles is what's coming up. All right. What we want to know is how long until your money starts changing is my guess. And the latter half of 2011. So the latter half of 2011 is going to be much better than it is now. So just kind of stay strong is what it's telling me to tell you. Don't be cruel to yourself. Hang in there. Be in control. You're playing both mother and father. Be in control. Things will shift, and you're just going to make those happen, and that'll all be good by the end of this year. Okay? So that's the money side of life. And you had something about relationships?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Anyone in particular? Or just...
Well, there's somebody that I was, like, in a relationship with, and I just want to know, like, what's going on with, like, my love life right now. Am I meant to be with the person that I was seeing? Or who is going to... Is someone new going to come into my life? Or...
Okay, I'm going to get quiet for a second and just ask the pendulum. And if you don't know how it works, I just hold it and the universe moves it. And no, what's coming through is who you were seeing is not who you're meant to be with. At least in the long term, we'll put it that way. Okay, I do have someone else coming into your life. I'll try to describe him a little bit. He's more of a fatherly figure, maybe stern but not mean, if that makes sense to you. And he will be coming around once your emotions are in check. It's like he's looking for you now, but you're just not ready for him yet. We need you to be a little happier with yourself and the situations around you, and that's going to draw him in. So he's actually looking for you now, and we're just going to get you fixed a little bit, and then you can let him in.
Okay.
Because you're playing multiple roles, the money, the whole routine. You've got a lot going on, so I don't think you're ready to let that man in. You can correct me if I'm wrong or if I'm off note.
No, you're correct.
Oh, okay. All right, so the plus side is he is out there. He is looking for you, and I'm feeling October-ish is going to kind of be a big change month for you, and that's when things are going to start happening, letting loose. You're going to start feeling better about yourself and bringing things like the new man, the right man in. We don't care about a new man. You might, but we care about the right man. Okay, so I'm really being told for you to stop feeling oppressed and, you know, put in a box like everyone's throwing things at you is kind of how you're feeling right now. And we want to get over that and just stay strong and battle through it. Okay, and what else can we catch you on?
And then with my children, I want to know about my children and... about me getting my own, like, apartment or house. Those are two other major issues in my life.
Okay, you want to know when you're getting an apartment and a house and how your children are? Let's see.
I want to know about my children, like, you know, what's in the future with me and my children.
Alright, what I'm getting through is really that you're going through or about to go through a major rebirth. A rebirth being looking into the soul, kind of what the whole show is about, getting rid of all the bad karma, bringing in the good karma. You have to release that old stuff so you can bring in the happy stuff. And you need to actually put yourself in judgment and figure out what needs to go and what needs to stay. And that's going to pull the family in together much better. Did that make any sense, or did I kind of dance around the question?
Okay, with my children, I'm just wondering if I'm going to get my children because currently there was somebody else. So that's one of my questions.
All right, let me check. I'm not feeling you're getting them full time. Will you get joint? Yeah, I'm getting more of a joint thing, so you'll be able to see them, but it's not going to be a full-time thing, at least in the immediate future. And by the end of 2011, yeah, the end of this year is going to be strong for you. You're going to spend the next few months in a hard rebirth. You're going to be waking up in the middle of the night and listen to your dreams, because you're going to have a lot of that going on. And it's really a cleansing period. Okay? You keep coming out, and I hate to say this, but kind of down in the dumps, feeling lonely, and we just want to flip that. So I kind of want to warn you of the process that's going to occur. which is that lack of sleep, feeling tired, feeling worried, trying to get through things, trying to figure that out, trying to get to, ultimately for you, the happy home front again. Okay? And you will make that once you kill all those other situations. And that's all part of rebirth. Okay? So you do have a lot of changes coming up. There's that man again. But I'm not seeing everything coming together till the latter half of this year, which in the realm of things is not that long.
Okay. And then later half, okay? Being like what month?
Like, I'm sorry?
What'd you see?
Huh? I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said what month would you see, like the changes starting or... and stuff getting better.
I think you're going to get started if you get yourself into rebirth now, probably in about October, okay? And I hate to do this to you, but October is going to be a good month, and we have to do one more reading. But it was great chatting with you, and okay. Love to chat with you later. And good luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, our next reader is for Nancy, and the reader is from Wisconsin. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Wisconsin. Hi, Phil. Hi, everybody.
Let me mute.
Are you there, Hello? Wisconsin?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
How are you this evening?
My name is Vicki.
Hi, Vicki. Did you have a question?
Yes, I do. I recently broke up with somebody after being with them for 16 years. 2 months ago, he told me that he wasn't happy, and we've never, ever fought. We had two fights in 15 years.
Wow.
On our 16th anniversary, he told me he wasn't happy. And the next day, he left. He went back to New Jersey, where he's originally from.
Okay.
And I truly love this man. We never fought. We had probably the best relationship in the world. And
uh-huh.
I don't understand why he left. And I'm hoping he comes back. And I need help.
Okay.
I need direction.
Okay. Well, let's try and get a little bit for you. And I just want you just to try and focus in on him for the next few seconds while I do a shuffle here. Okay. Did you guys have children?
No.
Okay.
I have two grown children, but we don't have children.
Okay. I think, and he never mentioned anything before he left?
Nope. I thought he was happy.
Okay.
He was having a few health issues with back surgery. But,
uh-huh.
And I know his medicine was making, you know, was not real good for him, but
mm-hmm.
he was happy with me. And he told me he was happy with me, and then all of a sudden I'm finding out he wasn't happy, and I'm confused.
Yeah, and I think he is happy, and he didn't say otherwise, right?
He told me he hadn't been happy for a while, but it wasn't with me, it was with himself.
Yeah, and I think he's true, and I think when he says that, he's quite true, and I think that you are going to hear from him again, but I think he's kind of like a wounded dog, you know, he's gone off to lick his wounds and try to make sense and make peace with what's happened to him. And was he having a lot of pain issues?
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that really has an effect on your emotions, because when you're in a lot of pain, his whole life has changed, and his whole way that he looks at himself has changed, and all of his physical abilities have changed, and because of all that, his emotional status has changed. So he's now he's not clinically depressed or anything, but he's very saddened by what's happened, and he realizes that this not only affects him, but it has a ripple effect on everything else in his life, which includes you. So he's very saddened by this. So I think he realizes too that he doesn't need to, just accept this and not do anything. So I think he's gone to take some time for himself to figure out what it is he can do and get a little bit healthier and come to terms with what he's dealing with. And I think once he puts everything in perspective, then you're going to hear from him again.
He isn't answering my calls. And what little bit he does over business things, you know, it's so quick and short, but he will be coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think that what you need to do is just to realize that, and I believe him, and what I'm seeing here is he is telling you the truth, and I think it is the best thing that you can do for you and for him is just to be, I know it's hard to do, but just be patient and give him some time and just check in with him and just play a very supportive role. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Pardon?
I'm sorry, he's not answering my phone calls, and that's where the problem is.
Okay, yeah, so he's really taking this hard.
Pardon me?
He's really taking this hard, the physical stuff that he's going through. And what I think that, you know, do you have someone that you talk to about this? Do you have a support person in your life that you can talk to about these things, like whether it's a family member or even a therapist of some kind?
Well, I have friends.
Yeah, because I think what you need to do is take care of you and just give him a bit of time. And it's very sad that, you know, he realizes, I think, that his physical circumstances are having an effect on you, but he seems to forget that not answering the phone affects you as well, you know? So I think that because
you,
he's so...
Can I ask you one question? Is there another woman involved?
I don't see another woman. And I think that because of what he's going through, he doesn't have the emotional room for anything else in his life besides he still really cares about you. And he also has this, the pain that he's dealing with, and that's going to keep him from dealing with anybody else. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, take care of yourself and just be patient with him.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We've run out of time, and I did say to everybody, sorry, we're out of time. Anybody who's waiting for a reading, please call back next week. You will be very happy if you decide to do so. We look forward to that. And I don't know, we may have lost Phil for a moment. Yeah. So at any rate, we are going to...
Ooh.
There he is, hey, I heard him.
Ha-ha.
Bye.
You're doing great. But that brings us to the end of this show and yet another wonderful show. And thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Nancy, yes?
Yes. And yes. Next week's show is about hypnosis. And it's the guest name is Anthony Hallett, and he's a certified hypnotist, and he's the director at the Canadian Hypnosis Center, and he's going to talk about the power of hypnosis.
Beautiful. I love that subject. That's going to be very intriguing. I can't wait. Okay. Well, that's the end of the show, so thanks for listening, and it's now time to, I guess, say goodbye, everyone. Have a great night. Thanks for joining.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Night. Bless your hearts.
Night.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.